Good morning. I'm Louis Sange, your host for Focus on Campus. And joining us today are Talia Davila and Nancy Batres. And they are here to talk about the upcoming presentation of the Department of Theater and Dance's The House on Mango Street. But first of all, Talia and Nancy, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, let's start off with, first of all, as I told you before the interview started, that I wanted to find out a little bit about both of you and your love for acting. When did you start? So let's start with you, Talia. Have you always been interested in acting?
Yes, always. I started off as a dancer, actually, and I studied with Andre Harper, who still instructs classical ballet here in El Paso. And maybe if she's listening, hello, Miss Harper. And also I danced here when Ingeborg Heuser was the director of Ballet El Paso. So I also trained with her, and I just had this magnetic attraction to performing and the act of performing and what it takes, how it makes you feel, what you experience on stage, what others experience on stage. And that was just exhilarating and sensational, and I couldn't get enough. So I was like, well, what else can I do? And that's when I started to be interested in acting.
Well, I think most of us as children do some kind of role playing, whether it be, you know, with your dolls, the soldiers. But I think particularly young ladies, because I know my daughter took charge of her brother and sister, and she took everything. So tell me about, was there a particular moment or something that you watched on TV that you wanted to be like?
I can't think of a particular incident. But I do remember one time I was watching TV with my grandfather, and I was always interested and gravitated towards how are they making that happen? Like, what is happening? And, you know, like if someone were to get shot, I would like, oh, my God. And then my grandfather would always say, it's okay. It's just television. It's just a movie. And when they would have special effects, I would ask, but how do they do it? Like, how they do it? And my grandfather would always say, it's camera work. He would always say that, it's camera work. So you try to negate going into a more descriptive explanation, but he's like, it's camera work. But I was always intrigued and drawn and gravitated towards it. And I wanted to explore that more always. So that's when I got into acting. And then after that, more into film and writing and directing and producing myself. And yeah.
So what about you, Nancy?
Well, I got into it in middle school. I remember it very specifically. I went on stage, and my face turned completely red, and I blinked. And it was the most exhilarating feeling. But then after that, I fell in love with it. I fell in love with learning about the human condition and learning why people do what they do. Because there's a reason why people do something, even if it's a bad thing. Something had to happen to cause them to do that. And I really can't describe it in words, but I just fell in love with it and the crafts and just learning. Mm-hmm. Just even today, just learning about it just excites me.
As Talia mentioned, her wanting to know what makes that happen. And as children, whether we watch a Disney movie, The Wizard of Oz, which I think every child has watched, you tend to want to pretend to be one of those characters or do something. Did you do that?
Yes, but I did it with telenovelas.
Loved
them. So I would sit there and I would, in my room, and I would reenact it. And then I would dance a little bit and pretend I was a singer too. But I always did that when I would always lock myself in my room. And whenever people caught me, I got scared. But I would still do it.
You told us about what happened to you the first time on stage and you turning red. And of course, now we know it was all an act. You weren't really embarrassed. What motivates you after that? I guess once you got past that first step, you decided this is okay?
I in the very beginning, I was very scared. I guess just being in front of people just scared the life out of me. And I think what it was is I started just learning just little things. I can't really explain it. I just started learning little things about it, and it just intrigued me more. I think I would just read a play, and I would see, wow, this is a great story. Besides the story, I would always be like the characters. Like I would fall in love with the characters and who they were as people. And that just fascinated me. And I started growing, developing a love for it.
What about this play? This play is The House on Mango Street. And it's based on the story by Sandra Cisneros. And a lot of people have read the book in English and in Spanish. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when we go to a movie, we'll say, gee, it's not really like the book. It's very different. The same may happen when it's a play. Have both of you read the story?
Yes.
Yes.
And so what can you tell us about it?
everything that's in the book is not in the play, unfortunately, because they are vignettes. But we had this discussion in rehearsal because Rebecca Rivas, the director, she made everybody read the book. And with the exception of a few stories not being in the play, it was pretty much the same, like identical. Amy Ludwig just kind of segregated lines and gave them to different characters. But if you just take the dialogue itself and just kind of put it back together, it's the book. So I think she did a really great job at keeping the soul of the book alive. It's all there. It's the soul and the heart and the stories and what, of course, Sandra Cisneros is trying to say as a writer. It's all there.
So Rebecca wrote this and condensed it from the story into the play?
No, Amy Ludwig adapted
okay.
adapted it to a play.
But Rebecca's directing it.
Yes, Miss Rivas is directing it. She's
now,
fabulous.
Now, tell us about the parts that you all play. Well, first of all, let's talk a little bit about the story because some people may not be familiar with the story.
Okay.
You wouldn't mind giving us a synopsis of the story, either one of you.
So Sandra Cisneros writes about various women in their lives and what they have to endure socially, politically, culturally, and she kind of puts it all together. And at first, I thought it was all Sandra Cisneros. I thought it was all her one experience, but it's actually a culmination of women she's been inspired by. And maybe there's a few of her own in there. And at first, I didn't know that. So I think it makes it more complex because it's various women and they share similarities with what they have to go through and what they feel. And Nancy was saying about the human condition. I love that. I'm totally in love with the human condition and why we do what we do as well. But these women and what they go through. But Miss Rivas was also really passionate about, she didn't want to tell a story how these women are victims, even as they are, but she didn't want to tell a story about women being victimized because actually every woman in the play that we focus on, they're strong, they're brave, they're courageous, they have heart, they have to keep it together somehow. So it's just their vignettes, it follows these women and, of course, the story of Esperanza and her family and her personal, very intimate experience having to grow up a poor Hispanic girl in a big family and the compromises and the sacrifices that we make when we do live with less and deal with more human beings under the same roof. So, yeah.
Well, even though we're on radio, I can tell that you ladies are actresses because I can see your facial expressions and your nonverbal communication is very good. What about, Tanya mentioned about, the human condition and why we do what we do, how we feel. Tell us about what you feel being part of this and the role you play.
Well, I play Esperanza. She's a 12-year-old girl, and the whole time on stage, you get to see her grow up. You get to see her fall in love a little bit, experience family problems. It's really just a coming-of-age story. It's really fascinating getting to play her. I'm so fortunate because she is so complex, because at that age, when you're 12 years old, all your emotions, everything is heightened. If you look at a kid and they're crying, they'll cry instantly. They feel everything, if they're angry, they'll feel angry, but 100%. It's not like when you're an adult and you're like, that made me a little upset. But when you're a kid, you feel every single emotion so strong, and it's always so personal. What she has to go through at that age is incredibly difficult. In every scene, I feel like the audience will get to feel a little bit. They'll find themselves, even if it's not in Esperanza, they'll just find themselves, a little bit of themselves.
Identifying.
They'll identify themselves in one character because I think the story is incredibly relatable.
Was that difficult for you to portray those feelings and become that 12-year-old little girl?
Yes. Yes, I'm still struggling. I'm still struggling because just everything that she goes through, it's just hard. I guess I'm still struggling with putting myself completely connecting to that.
12-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm. But I'm trying.
What about you, Talia?
Well, because we play the same woman. She's the younger Esperanza and I'm the older Esperanza. But what I find highly engrossing and different and unique about the character is that even though she's 12, she's very poetic. The way she experiences the world, how she perceives the world around her, and the reaction she has to things that are happening to her and the people around her in her life. She's a writer, you know. Sandra Cisneros, she mentions that too. Like, writing is the catharsis. The writing is the way she releases all of those internal struggles, that internal battle. She has a very poetic, lyrically poetic way of seeing the world. And that's what I love about the character. And it's been rough what she has to deal with. So young, she goes through a lot, but I don't want to say it so you guys can come see it. I don't want to like spoil the alert, but she, everything that an adult has to go through, basically she goes through, and she's experiencing it young and the older, so young and the older Esperanza is going back, and she's in a sense reliving the memory of what happened, trying to make some kind of peace out of it, but she's older and more knowledgeable and wise. And when we age, we become more aware and more conscious. So she's reliving these experiences from a different kind of attitude. It's been a very hard journey trying to find those balances of the young me and what I experience and know as a child and what I experience and know as an adult. And sometimes the line is very fuzzy, you know? So, but we essentially coexist.
We want our listeners to experience that journey. And if you wouldn't mind telling us, Nancy, when the play opens, what are the dates, and perhaps where they can call for more information?
Yes. So the play opens next week on September 22nd, and the show starts at 7:30. So it runs from September 22nd to October 2nd. And on September 22nd, 23rd, 29th, 30th, and October 1st, the performances are at 7:30. And then on September 25th and October 2nd, they are at 2:30.
And again, that number is 747-5118 if you have additional information about tickets or times. Again, it's the House on Mango Street, put on by the Department of Theater and Dance here at UTEP. And we've been visiting with Talia Davila and Nancy Batres, who are part of the House on Mango Street. Thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Ashley Johnson. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.